Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Rabbi Avram Goldhar, and today we're Masechta Nedarim, Daf Zayin, the first parak, Kol Kanuye. So the three tops we're going to focus on. Number one, Ravina asked, Yesh Yad Gobesi Kisei or Lo, are Yadayim effective for designating a lavatory or not, in regard to the prohibition to reciting Shema, learning Torah, or praying within it? The Gemara clarifies, the question was asked where he said, on the second structure, Bahadain, and this without saying also. Do we say Bahadain Nami Basic Kisei? He meant, and this should also be a lavatory, O Dilma my Bahadain with Tashmisha Ba'amaka Amar. Or perhaps what is intended by and this is that he's saying it's for ordinary use. When the Gemara says Ravina's question implies he holds Yesh Zimun Basic Kisei, there's effectiveness in designation of a lavatory to give it the status of an unholy place to prohibit holy activities in it even before it's used. It notes that Ravina himself had the question if Yesh Zimun Basic Kisei or not. Perhaps doing a holy activity in such a place would not be prohibited. The Gemara concludes that Ravina was in fact in doubt if Yesh Zimun Rabesi Kisei, and if the conclusion is that there is, he questioned if Yadayim are effective for designations of a lavatory. Ravina leaves the question unresolved. Point number two, Rav Hanin said in the name of Rav, HaShomea Haskar Hashem Ifi Chavero Tzarech Lenadosa, one who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth, he must excommunicate him. And if he did not excommunicate him, he himself should be excommunicated. Because all places where mention of Hashem's name in vain is common, Sham Anius Mitsuya, there, poverty is common. The Gemara adds that poverty is likened to death. Rabbi Abba said he once stood before Rav Huna and heard a woman mention Hashem's name in vain, and Shamta Bashar La La'Altar Ba'apa, and Rav Huna excommunicated her and released it immediately in front of her. The Gemara adds that three halachas can be learned from this incident. That one who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth must excommunicate him. And that if he excommunicated someone in his presence, he must release him in his presence. And that there's no time required between the excommunication and the release, meaning it may be annulled immediately. And point number three, Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav, Talmud Chacham enad la'atzmo u'mefer la'atzmo. A Talmud Chacham may excommunicate himself and then annul it for himself. When the Gemara asks what the novelty is in this ruling, it explains that ma'udatema ein chavush matir atzmo be'sesurin. You may have said that a prisoner cannot release himself from prison. So Rav Gittel taught us that he may. The Gemara cites as an example of this principle the practice of Marzut or Chasida, ki machai barbe Rav Shamta, when a student required excommunication, meshamet nafshi bereisha, b'had meshamet barbe Rav. He would excommunicate himself first and only then excommunicate the student. And when he came home, he would release himself and then release the student. Tosos explains that he would excommunicate himself first to ensure he would remember to release the student. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, Ravina asks, Yesh Yad Rabesi Kisei or Lo, are Yadayim effective for designating a lavatory or not in regard to the prohibition to reciting Shema, learning Torah, or praying within it? The Gemara clarifies, the question was asked where he said, on the second structure, Bahadain, and this without saying also. Do we say Bahadain Nami Basic Kisei? He meant, and this should also be a lavatory, O Dilma my Bahadain with Tashmisha Ba'amaka Amar. Or perhaps what is intended by and this is that he's saying it's for ordinary use. When the Gemara says Ravina's question implies he holds Yesh Zimun on Basic Kisei, there's effectiveness in designation of a lavatory to give it the status of an unholy place to prohibit holy activities in it even before it's used. It notes that Ravina himself had the question if Yesh Zimun on Basic Kisei or not. Perhaps doing a holy activity in such a place would not be prohibited. The Gemara concludes that Ravina was in fact in doubt if Yesh Zimun Rabesi Kisei, and if the conclusion is that there is, he questioned if Yadayim are effective for designations of a lavatory. Ravina leaves the question unresolved. Point number two, Rav Hanin said in the name of Rav, HaShomea Haskar Hashem Ifi Chavero Tzarech Lenadosa, one who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth, he must excommunicate him. And if he did not excommunicate him, he himself should be excommunicated. Because all places where mention of Hashem's name in vain is common, Sham Anius Mitsuya, there, poverty is common. The Gemara adds that poverty is likened to death. Rabbi Abba said he once stood before Rav Huna and heard a woman mention Hashem's name in vain, and Shamta Bashar La La'Altar Ba'apa, and Rav Huna excommunicated her and released it immediately in front of her. The Gemara adds that three halachas can be learned from this incident. That one who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth must excommunicate him. And that if he excommunicated someone in his presence, he must release him in his presence. And that there's no time required between the excommunication and the release, meaning it may be annulled immediately. And pointing with you, Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav, Talmud Chacham nado la'atzmo u'mefer la'atzmo. A Talmud Chacham may excommunicate himself and then annul it for himself. Well, the Gemara asks what the novelty is in this ruling. It explains that ma'udatema in chavush matir atzmo be'sesurin. You may have said that a prisoner cannot release himself from prison. So Rav Gittel taught us that he may. The Gemara cites, as an example of this principle, the practice of Marzutur Chasida, ki mechai barbe Rav Shamta, when a student required excommunication, meshamet nafshi bereisha, b'had meshamet barbe Rav, he would excommunicate himself first, and only then excommunicate the student. And when he came home, he would release himself and then release the student. Tosos explains that he would excommunicate himself first to ensure he would remember to release the student. All right, so now we go to a siman daf zayin, and a standard siman is a gun, a clay zayin, a weapon. So we use a gun as a siman. So here goes. The yeshiva bachur at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, whereas his Rebbe excommunicated himself first with the intent to release himself and his Talmud later. So once again, it's a motion. The yeshiva bachur at the gun range, that must be one daf zayin, clay zayin, gun. The yeshiva bachur at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, which reminds us, Ravina asked, Yesh yad lo beis kisei or lo, are yadayim effective for designating a lavatory or not in regard to the prohibition to reciting shema, learning Torah, or davening within it? So the yeshiva bachur at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, which reminds us Rav Chanin said in the name of Rav, Hashomei haskaras Hashem b'fi chavero, tzarich l'nadoso. One who hears mention of Hashem's name in vain from his friend's mouth, he must excommunicate him. V'imo nidahu hu atzmo yehe benidui. And if he did not excommunicate him, he himself should be excommunicated. Shekol makrin shehaskaras Hashem metzuya, because all places where mention of Hashem's name in vain is common, sham anius metzuya, there poverty is common. So the yeshiva bachur at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, whereas his Rebbe excommunicated himself first with the intent to release himself and his Talmud later, which reminds us Rav Gittel said in the name of Rav, Talmud Chacham menada la'atzma u'mefer la'atzma. Talmud Chacham may excommunicate himself and then annul it for himself. The Gemara cites as an example of this principle the practice of Marzutur Chasida, ki mechai barbe Rav Shamta, when a student required excommunication, he would excommunicate himself first and only then excommunicate the student. And when he came home, he would release himself and then release the student. Tosos explains that he would excommunicate himself first to ensure he would remember to release the student. So once again, the yeshiva bachur at the gun range, who wasn't sure if he could say shema in a second structure that might have been designated as a lavatory, went ballistic and excommunicated a friend who said Hashem's name in vain, whereas his Rebbe excommunicated himself first with the intent to release himself and his Talmud later. All right, now it's time for four blot back Hazara. Daf Gimel. So the Simur Daf Gimel is a gamal, a camel. So here goes. The camel driver, that must be more in Daf Gimel, gamal. The camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yadus Nadarim first because they were learned from a drasha, which reminds us that since Yadus are derived through a drasha, the Tana explains them first. So the camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yadus Nadarim first because they were learned from a drasha was so inspired when a Nazir told him that the Yadus Nadarim rule was learned from a repetitive phrase by Nazir, which reminds us the source for Yadus by Nazirus is from the double Russian of Nazir Azir in the Pasuk, and we learned through a Hekesh of Nazir to Nadarim that Yadus also apply to Nadarim. So the camel driver who traveled far to clarify Yadus Nadarim first because they were learned from a drasha was so inspired when a Nazir told him that the Yadus Nadarim rule was learned from a repetitive phrase by Nazir that he declared, I will not leave this world without being a Nazir, and rush on his way, lest he violate Baal Ta'akhir, which reminds us, the application of Baal Ta'akhir to a Nazir is when someone says, Lo yipat mina olam ad shehe Nazir, I will not leave this world without first being a Nazir. From that moment, he must be a Nazir because he must fear that any moment may be his last, and a delay would thus violate Baal Ta'akhir. Daf Dalad, so the Simur Daf Dalad is a door. So here goes. The man who accepted his Nazirs in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot with a tombstone shaped like a door. Doorman with a tombstone shaped like a door? That must be one Daf Dalad, door. The man who accepted his nazir is in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot, with a tombstone shaped like a door, which reminds us the Gemara in this stuff begins by offering more ways that a nazir can violate the losasi of Baal Ta'akhir. The first is in a case where he accepts to be a nazir in a graveyard. The Gemara clarifies that although the nazir is effective despite the acceptance being in a graveyard, nevertheless, he is subject to Baal Ta'akhir mishum dekama akhir nazirus to Tahara, because he's delaying the nazirus of Tahara. The second option is that the nazir violates Baal Ta'akhir for delaying his shaving. So the man who accepted his nazir is in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot, with a tombstone shaped like a door, realized he was also going to be delayed in bringing his karbanis and transgress Baal Ta'akhir again, which reminds us. The Gemara offers a third option of how a nazir can be over Baal Ta'akhir. He violates Baal Ta'akhir by delaying to bring his karbanis. The Gemara challenges this answer by asserting that we would not need to learn this from the Darim, as the Braisa did on Dav Gimel Amud Aleph, because we already have a drusha that teaches that obligatory karbanis are included in Baal Ta'akhir, and the karbanis of a nazir are obligatory. It answers, you might have said that the Torah taught a chiddush by nazir, so perhaps Baal Ta'akhir does not apply to a nazir. The Gemara provides two explanations of what the chiddush is. So the man who accepted his nazir is in the graveyard next to the doorman's plot, with a tombstone shaped like a door, realized he was also going to be delayed in bringing his karbanis and transgress Baal Ta'akhir again, and wished he had just said a simple netter such as, I am vowed from you in that which I eat of yours. Which reminds us, the Mishnah had given examples of yadas nadarim, such as someone who says, Mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, I am vowed from you or I am separated from you. Shmuel said, in all these, it only applies when he adds that which I eat of yours or that which I taste of yours. He holds that the two sets of phrases in the Mishnah should be understood as two parts of a single case and not two separate cases. The Gemara clarifies what exactly did Shmuel mean. Daf hay. So the Zimmer daf hay is hay or a haystack. So here goes. The two farmers baling hay. Hey, that must be on daf hay. The two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha, which reminds us, the Gemara revises Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's statement to read, if one says, Mudar ani locha, shneim asurim, I am vowed to you, they're both forbidden to benefit from each other. But if one says, Mudrani hemach, hu asur v'chavero mutter, I am vowed from you, he's forbidden to benefit from his friend, but his friend is permitted. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha, after his friend inscribed the words, I am separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you, which reminds us. The Gemara concludes that Shmuel did mean to say that only if one adds the phrase, Shani och locha, is the vow effective. But if he only says, Mudrani mimcha, I am vowed from you, the vow is ineffective. Here the Gemara explains that the reason is, L'mashma da'amar aser. It does not imply that he's saying a prohibition. The reason for this is, Mudar ani mimcha, I am vowed from you, can instead imply, I will not speak with you. Mufashani mimcha, I'm separated from you, can mean, I will not do business with you. The Ran explains that since the implication of his vow is not conclusive, no vow takes effect at all. So the two farmers baling hay were forbidden to benefit from one another, because one said, Mudar ani locha, after his friend inscribed the words, I'm separated from you in a haystack, and he thought he meant, I will not do business with you. When the friend was actually trying to win back his wife, who demanded that he give her an explicit get. Which reminds us, the Gemara records machlokes between Abai and Rav about yadayim she'ein mochikos, yadayim which are inconclusive. Abai says they are valid yadayim, and Rav says they are not. The Gemara asks that this dispute seems to reflect a machlokes tanaim regarding a get, for it stated in the Mishnah, gufo shel get ari muter zekol adam. The absence of a get is you are thus permitted to anyone. Rav Yehuda says the get must include v'din dehavi lichim inai sefer tiruchim neger shivukin, and this will be yours from me, a document of expulsion and a letter of release. We see that Tanaim have already disagreed about how clear a partial expression must be for a valid get. The Gemara shows, though, how Abai can conform with even Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabba can conform with the Rabbanan. Daf Vav. So the Simur Daf Vav is a sword. So here goes. The dramatic swordsman. Swordsman? That must mean more on Daf Vav. The dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zep, but not a lie, making it us or an all, which reminds us. The inference of a brisa is that if one only said, Hare Zep, this is hereby, and not added a lie to me, then the item would be forbidden not only to him, like in the case where he does say to me, but to everyone. Did Dilmar Hu Hektish Ka'amar, because perhaps he's saying it is hereby Hektish, which would forbid the item to all people, since he has surely made a valid vow, and it's unclear if he intended to prohibit the item to just himself or everyone, we rule stringently. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not a lie, making it us or an all. Just after he was Makadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Ba'at, which reminds us where Papa asked, Yesh yad le kedushin olo, are yadayim effective for kedushin or not? The Gemara says he was asking about a case where a man was Mekadosh a woman and then said to a second woman, Ba'at, and you. Do we say he was saying, and you too, to her friend, and the Kedushin would be valid as a Yad? Or perhaps he's saying, and you watch, to her friend, and the Kedushin would not be valid. The Ran explains that since there is another, albeit unlikely, interpretation to his words, it's merely a Yad, and Kedushin would not be valid through a Yad, even though it is conclusive. The question is left unresolved. So the dramatic swordsman picked up a fierce-looking sword and shouted, Hare Zeh, but not Ohai, making it Usur and all. Just after he was Mekadosh a woman and pointed the sword at her friend and shouted, Va'at, while the terrified friend tried to hide in the last remaining patch of a field, which was not clear whether it was declared as Peah. Which reminds us, Rapapa further asked, Yesh Yad L'Peah or Ein Yad L'Peah? Is the Yad effective for Peah or not? The Gemara again clarifies that if he declared one patch of his field to be Peah, and then said on a second, and this one too, that would certainly be a full expression of Peah and would not be a Yad. Rather, the question is where he said on the second patch, which was the only remaining patch, Vahadein, and this one. Tosus explains that the other possible interpretation of his words is, and this one I retain for myself, thereby reducing the declaration to a Yad, because we're speaking where the second patch is the last remaining one in his field. Alright, now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do we have a question whether Yadayim are effective to designate a basic kisei, a lavatory? That's on daf Zion. Good number 2. Which of the one that the Malchokas, the Bayan Rabbah regarding Yadayim She'im Ochichos, is compared to a Malchokas regarding how explicit a get has to be? That's on daf Hey. Good number 3. Which daf do we learn that if someone hears another say Hashem's name in vain, he should excommunicate him? That's on daf Zion. Good number 4. Which daf do we learn that there's a case where a Nazir could violate Baal Ta'acher when he says, I will not leave this world without being a Nazir? That's on daf Gimel. Good number 5. Which daf does Rav Papa ask the question whether there is a Yad for Kedushin or not? That's on daf Vav. Good number 6. Which daf do we learn that Marzuta Chasida would excommunicate himself before excommunicating his Talmud and then later would release himself and the Talmud? That's on daf Zion. Good number 7. Which daf do we learn that when one says Hare Zeh without saying a lie, it could be understood to mean that he's making the item hektish and usher to all? That's on Dav Vav. Good number 8. Which of the one that Nazik me over Baal Ta'akhir by accepting his Nazirus in a graveyard? That's on Dav Dalet. Good number 9. Which of the one that Shmuel holds that if one said, Mufushani Mimcha, I'm separated from you, it's not a good vow since he could mean, I'm not doing business with you? That's on Dav Hey, good. And number 10. Wish of the one that one of the reasons the Tana explained Yados first is that it was taught from a drasha. That's on daf Gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldman Zichron wishing you a great day and great learning.